All right, as we begin, there are really three questions that need to be asked and answered. They are, why CIFAR? Why Africa? And why now? First, here is the central argument. Around the world, and especially in the developing world and the post-communist world, dozens, arguably hundreds, of cultic groups are sending tens of thousands of missionaries and spending millions of dollars to empty our churches, to confound the work of the Great Commission, and take people captive. In the New Testament, we have an apostolic imperative that does not give us the liberty or the luxury to ignore what is taking place on the mission field. Instead, we are commanded to defend the faith once for all delivered unto the saints, to guard the gospel, to protect the body of Christ, and at the same time, almost paradoxically, to reach out in love to the people who have been placed in bondage by these groups. In 1980, I began working for the late Walter Martin, founder of the Christian Research Institute, author of The Kingdom of the Cults. In 1981, he sent me to Africa for 3 months. And what I learned in teaching and speaking in Kenya, Malawi, and Zimbabwe forever changed my life, because I saw firsthand the desperate need for agencies really rather like the Christian Research Institute in the developing world. 2 years later, Walter Martin sent me to Brazil for 9 months, which became 6 years. And I saw firsthand that, yes, such an organization can be put together by the grace of God outside of the United States and make a tremendous change in the dynamic in dealing with cults and false teachings. And this was followed in 1993 by the Center for Apologetics Research in St. Petersburg, Russia, later in Budapest, Hungary, later in Kyiv, Ukraine. But why Africa? Well, some of you know the name Philip Jenkins. Some of you realize that the geographic center of Christianity is shifting southward. It is no longer in North America. It is no longer in Western Europe. It is in places like Africa. And in The Next Christendom, Jenkins explains that since 1965, when the number of people who identified themselves as Christians in Africa was about a quarter of the population, that has grown today to nearly half the continent, which is quite astonishing. Let me go from the macro to what might relatively be the micro. Let me talk about Uganda. By the middle of the 21st century, there will be more self-described Christians in Uganda than in nations like Germany or Britain. By some estimates, by mid-century, Uganda could have more active church members than the 4 or 5 largest countries in Europe combined. This is a country the size of Oregon. And this is something that we must deal with. Why CIFAR? Why Africa? Why now? In 2006, an American missionary invited me to come to Uganda to investigate the possibility of starting a ministry like CIFAR. Now, as indicated by what I just told you, the objective facts have been in front of us for years. But we were missing some key ingredients that would make it possible to begin another center for apologetics research in that part of the world. In addition to an extraordinary depth of need in Uganda, a country that has had the bitterest of experiences with cults and false teachings, as you will see in a moment. I found, and when John returned with me twice now, we found, in meeting not only with cult leaders, but with denominational leaders, ministry leaders, Anglicans, Baptists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Calvary Chapel, across the board, the nearly unanimous response was, We need this kind of ministry in East Africa now. Another criteria was met by God's grace. We needed a partner ministry, and the Lord provided the Kampala Evangelical School of Theology, started by Ugandans with the cooperation of John Stott, led by Ugandans, a non-denominational organization that has as one of its fundamental purposes the combating of error, including organized heresies like the cults. This is an extraordinary thing. And finally, you can have all the other things in place, all the other elements in front of you, but if you do not have someone who is called, someone who is competent, someone who has character to lead the ministry, you will go nowhere. And God has provided the person to start the work of the African Center. I just want to briefly describe a couple of encounters. One of them was with David Zakniringiye, who is the assistant bishop of Kampala. John and I met him in his office at All Saints Anglican Cathedral there in the capital. It was very interesting because we had a very busy schedule. People were saying, you have to meet with Bishop Zach. So we contacted him. And his secretary made an appointment for us, and we found ourselves there at All Saints in his office awaiting his arrival, marveling really at the tremendous collection of books on his walls. This guy is at the center of ecclesiastical power in Uganda and seems to lack for nothing. And so it was quite remarkable when he entered the room and said, I hope you know I'm a very busy man. But when they told me that the subject was cults, I knew I had to make time for you. And he told us a story. You know, we went back and forth. We explained why we were there. He explained his perception of the situation of cults. But he gave this illustration. He said, one day a young woman, one of my parishioners, came to my office and said, what do you know about the Mormons? He replied, they're a cult. And she said, my sister's about to marry one. And then she asked, what can you give me? And he looked us right in the eye and he said, I did not have even a tract to put in her hand. This was his illustration of the absurd level of want in Uganda. I have to make it clear to you, the majority of pastors in Africa have little or no formal theological training. In many cases, they do not even own a Bible in their own first language. And if they have a problem with a cult, with an aberrant Christian group, with a false teaching that's sweeping in either from the United States or springing up from their own soil, there is no agency to which they can turn today for information. The other encounter I would describe to you is this. When John spoke at the Wednesday night service at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, Calvary Chapel of Kampala is what I meant to say. After he spoke, we had a literature table, and young men and women swarmed that table to get information on the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses in both English and Swahili. And I will not forget the young man who came up to me with tears, saying, please. He pleaded with me, and he said, please, start this center as soon as you can. Now, it's one thing for me to talk to you about Africa, for you to imagine what it's like there. It's another to see and hear African Christian leaders talking about the toll that cults and false teachings are taking on the body of Christ and on the work of the Great Commission. And what we can do by God's grace to change the equation.